those planets in the air and in the water. This is a position. There are millions and trillions of living entities elsewhere, and they are engaged by Maya in suffering and enjoying the results of their fruitive activity, life after life. This is the position of the materially conditioned living entities. Out of many of these living entities, if one is actually fortunate, Bhagavan comes in contact with a bona fide spiritual master by Krishna's mercy. This, by the way, is the story of each and every one of us sitting here. So we should listen carefully to our own story. Krishna is situated in everyone's heart. And if one desires something, Krishna fulfills one's desire. If the living entity by chance or fortune comes in contact with the Krishna consciousness movement and wishes to associate with that movement, Krishna, who is situated in everyone's heart, gives him the chance to meet a bona fide spiritual master. This is called Guru Krishna Prasada. Krishna is prepared to bestow his mercy upon all living entities. And as soon as a living entity desires the Lord's mercy, the Lord immediately gives them an opportunity to meet a bona fide spiritual master. Such a person is fortified by both Krishna and the spiritual master. He is helped from within by Krishna and from without by the spiritual master. Both are prepared to help the sincere living being become free from this material bondage. How one can become this fortunate can be seen in the life of Srila Narada Muni. In his previous life, he was born as a maidservant. Although he was not born into a prestigious position, his mother was fortunately engaged in rendering service to some Vaishnavas. When these Vaishnavas were resting during the Chaturmasya period, the boy Narada took the opportunity to engage in their service. Taking compassion upon the boy, the Vaishnavas offered him the remnants of their food. By serving them and observing their orders, obeying their orders, the boy became the object of sympathy for the Vaishnavas, and by the Vaishnavas' unknown mercy, he gradually became a pure devotee. In the next life, he was Narada Muni, the most exalted of Vaishnavas, and the most important guru and acharya of Vaishnavas. Following in the footsteps of Narada Muni, this Krishna consciousness movement is rendering service to humanity by giving everyone a chance to come in contact with Krishna. If one is fortunate, he becomes intimately related with this movement. Then, by the grace of Krishna, one's life becomes successful. Everyone has dormant Krishna bhakti, love for Krishna, and in the association of good devotees, that love is revealed. As stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya 22.107, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabana Shravanadi Shita Chitti Kaya Uda. Dormant devotional service to Krishna is within everyone. Simply by associating with devotees, hearing their good instructions, and chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, dormant love for Krishna is awakened. In this way, one acquires the seed of devotional service. Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lakta Bhish. Srila Prabhupada Ki. Om Gana Tamaranda Shagana Anjana Salakala. Saksi Unirakam Tasma Sri Guru Bhagavan. So as I mentioned while reading the verse in third board, this is the story of each and every one of us. And it should be very encouraging. Actually, the Acharyas, they recommend that we dive deep into the Bhakti Shastras. It's like this analogy is used quite often of the ocean. Bhakti Rasa Mita Sindhu immediately comes to mind. The ocean of Bhakti Rasa. So our Acharyas, they advise, they use this example of an ocean. But they tell us, don't remain on the surface. Dive deep into that ocean. It's the responsibility of each and every one of us to build on this mercy that's been described, just like Narada Muni. We have to build on it by diving deeply into what's been given to us. And so this morning, I have a little exercise by which I'd like to do. By which all of us can dive deeply into the Bhakti Shastras. And this verse actually is a very good starting point, because hopefully it'll come out as we go through it. But the point is that it starts from the very beginning of our engagement in devotional service and takes us to complete perfection in one verse. So hopefully we'll see that as we go through this. So what we're going to do is go through the word for word. Of course, we don't want to neglect to mention that diving deep begins with reading Srila Prabhupada's purports. He says they're his ecstasies, and so we can deepen, we can go deeper just by studying his purports. The word for word is also like this. Many devotees, when they give class on the Shastra, they focus on the word for word translations because so much is there that adds to the translation and purport Srila Prabhupada gives. So what I want to do today is go through the word for word with everybody, but ask you to think what the individual words mean to you in your own practice of devotional service.
Is the sound good or little up?
A little up.
It's not close enough? No, that's better. Well, they had it down. It wasn't me. I know my voice is going. Okay, so we want to go through the word for word, and if we could put the word for word up there, that would be good. The point being that each word in the verse helps build Prabhupada's translation as well as his commentary. But all of us also have experience. We're experienced devotees. No one here is brand new. Everyone's experienced devotee. So we should also have some reflections, some ideas about the words, each individual word in the verse, that helps increase our understanding, deepen our understanding of the verse as a whole. So what I've done is I've gone through mainly Chaitanya Charitamrita, because these are Bengali words, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and found how the word is used in different verses that give a broad understanding of each word, a broader understanding of each word, and how it can make the verse that we're reading more meaningful to us. So I'll give you an example by the first word. First word, Brahmanda. In Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhurya, chapter 20, text 284, we find the phrase, Ananta Koti Brahmanda. Millions and trillions of Brahmandas, or universes. When I hear this word, Brahmanda, I immediately think of millions and trillions of universes, as opposed to thinking maybe of one. The verse is explaining the extent of our imprisonment within this material realm. But the extent of it is Brahmanda. It goes not just this universe, but many millions and trillions of universes are there to imprison us. And so, the reason why I say this verse starts us off the beginning of devotional service is that Brahmanda, we're imprisoned. Brahmanda also, at least in my mind, conjures up the image of what we've heard, a description of the universe as being egg-like. So an egg, think of an egg. There's no way out. It's completely sealed. Material nature, Brahmanda's universes are like that. There are prisons that you can't escape from. That goes through my head when I try to understand what Brahmanda means. And another meaning that comes to my mind is found in Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 21, text 86. Brahmanda Anurupa, according to the size of a universe. A couple of Sundays ago I gave a class, was it Sunday? About Brahma, the many heads of the... I gave a class, and so that was Brahma, and he was like, thought his universe was all null. He didn't conceptualize the millions and trillions of universes, but he did have a conception according to the size of the universe. The heads of the Brahmas are allocated. So, with that understanding of Brahmanda, it helped me deepen my understanding of the extent to which this material nature exists and binds the living entity. And in the word for word, Brahmanda is coupled with Brahmite. Brahmanda Brahmite. Basically, Brahmite means wandering. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's just defined in different ways. While thus moving, while traveling, while touring, wandering and wandering. Wandering in different forms, in different manners. So basically, we're wasting our time. That's how I understand the focus on wandering here. We're wandering without a purpose. Have you ever done that? Yeah, besides our conditioned nature, sometimes just out of sheer boredom, someone goes to, well, they don't do it here, but in New York, where there's seats, or here everyone drives. You drive, just wander around driving because you got nothing better to do, aimless wandering on the streets. That's our condition. We're aimlessly wandering from one universe to another, unendingly. There are billions and trillions of universes, Brahmanda and Brahmite. We are moving, we're traveling between from one to the other. As Prabhupada elaborates in his purport and the verse, according to our karma. According to our karma, sometimes we're here, sometimes we're there, sometimes we're defamed, sometimes we're honored, sometimes we're rich, sometimes we're poor. All these things are meaningless wanderings. So that's our situation, Brahmanda Brahmite. Now we can read it that, according to karma, one is going through various universes. But if we delve into the meanings a bit, it comes a deeper understanding, just to the extent to which we're conditioned. Does that make sense to everybody?
Yes.
Okay, so next word.
I have a question.
Question? Yes.
In the temple, I mean, as a devotee, we agree what you're saying. But the karmis, if we stop 10 people driving, they all know what they want, where they're going. They're not saying we are uselessly wandering.
They may not know what they're talking about.
That's true. That's what my point is.
Well, that comes, and thank you for bringing that, because how we have to not only understand the words in the verse, and how to apply it. And so the very next word deals with your question, and that's kona. Kona means some, not all. Just some, not all. It doesn't mean this isn't for everybody. Kona. It's kona bhagyavan. Some people are fortunate, not all. Sometimes and not always. And we should understand that. It gives us a deeper understanding how fortunate we are, for one thing. We're not that much different than the guy next to us. So why me and not him? Kona. Some are fortunate. Prabhupada in the purport talks about those that take advantage of the situation that's placed in front of them. Some will, some won't. And so, better we are amongst those that take it. Some different uses of the word kona in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Kona dine, some days, some time. Kona dine, sometimes. And of course, kona bhagyavan, as is described in today's verse. By understanding that it's only some, then we can appreciate more what we've got. Somehow or another, we've fallen into this. And that's the point of bhagyavan. Fortunate. Kona Bhagavan, some fortunate persons. Say Bhagavan, he is very fortunate. Tumi Bhagavan, certainly you are very fortunate. What strikes me about the combination of Kona and Bhagavan is that we shouldn't think that it's something special about me. We're fortunate, Prabhupada said, I have created your good fortune. We shouldn't think, oh well, I'm advanced, I'm pure, therefore me, I'm one of the some. No, we're just like the universe is, Brahmanda. There are billions and trillions of us. We're insignificant. Insignificant. That's the next word, jiva. Jiva, the living entity, the conditioned living entity. There are millions and trillions of jivas. But kona bhagyavan, only some are fortunate. So that means we should appreciate more what we've got. And we always hear from the Shastras and our acharyas and other devotees about how we have to see ourselves as insignificant. And there are some ways that this happens to the jiva. It's described in Srimad Bhagavatam 10:10-14. Jiva samyagata. When he understands that the position is the same for everyone. In other words, this realization, this word jiva in this verse can help us realize that we're nothing special, we're insignificant, and that everyone is in the same position. So that's the preaching field. Everyone is in the same position. We go out, we give the opportunity to everyone. Any jiva can take it, but not all will take it. And I think that's the experience of anyone who's a preacher. Some people will take it, and some people won't take it. Yes.
So, jiva means one who has life, or alive. We are not talking about dead matter. It's separating. The one who has the ability to see self separate from the dead matter can be called jiva in that sense also.
Very good. That's going deeper. Thank you. Does anybody else have?
Also, I was thinking like the Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur quoted this, prana chejar sehetu prachar. One who has life, they are preaching. So then those who are not Krishna consciousness, I mean, in one sense, they're not dead, but the sloka says they're dead. Can you give a little?
Well, one who has life can preach, as you said here.
Yeah.
So that's the next word. That's the next word in the verse. Guru. Ramanda Brahmate Bhagyavana Ji. Guru. That's the next verse. So who is the Guru? He's who's alive, as you describe it. That's the difference between the Guru and us. Of course, he's Guru Tattva, but the quality of being alive to our spiritual nature, to our real self, is shared between Guru and disciple. And so, it's described in Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, chapter 3, Guru Atmana Daivata, for whom the spiritual master is his very life and worshipable deity. That's who's fortunate. For whom the spiritual master is his very life and worshipable deity. Do you think of our spiritual master in that way? You said you have to be alive to preach. So this is what it means. He becomes our life. His mission becomes our mission. And by doing that, we also gain our life. Otherwise, real meaning is that without that relation with Guru, without that connection, then you're a dead man, as you described. Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Jagat Guru, the spiritual master of the whole world. So that's who is Guru. And what does the Guru give? Well, the verse says what Krishna gives, what the Guru gives. Guru Krishna. Prasadavai Bhakti Rata Bij. So the Guru gives Krishna. How is that perceived? How do you perceive the Guru giving Krishna in your life? Anybody?
Service,
having service. Actually, I know many God brothers who find themselves in one way or another without any service, and they're lamenting. They want some service. So, yes, service is Krishna. Anybody have any other?
Personal connection. It gives us a personal connection.
Personal connection. That's very good. Because Krishna is a person, right? Ultimately, Krishna is a person. We want to develop our relationship with him. And what does the Guru do? He gives us that personal relationship with Krishna. So that's good. That's going deeper.
gives.
He does that by decoding the Vedas, decoding the Shastras, so we can understand
them. Good. Not just a guru sitting some poster or picture on the wall or something, but he gives his so many instructions, so many books. Study this. So in that way, understanding the guru is going deeper, not just a fashion, but taking his instructions. Thank you.
Gave us Krishna book.
He gave us Krishna book.
He gave us the responsibility of taking on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement and maintaining it and increasing it.
Yes. Prabhupada, if we can say he was in any anxiety at the time of his departure, it may be that his concern for how things will go on.
He asked us to cooperate, which is one of the hardest things to do in the universe. On any level, for any reason, if you ever notice in your life, the greatest austerity is to cooperate. Because you have to, you can't complain, you can't criticize, and you can't find fault. You have to work together. And when I see the Brahmanda Brahmite wandering jivas, I always picture me out there chasing out these people down in the parking lot. I go, this wandering jiva. Wandering all over the universes for a zillion years, and here's his chance. Today, he gets a book. I stopped to get gas yesterday, and I gave the kid a book, and he was so happy to get it. I gave him the Chant and Be Happy, and then I gave him the Vegetarian Cookbook, and he said, my girlfriend's vegetarian, she's going to love this. He was so excited, and he wanted to give me something just because he was so glad to get it. And, you know, I just took a half a second and went out of my way and said, here, it's a book. I mean, it's a simple thing to do, but I have this thing inside of me that I can't let a jiva just wander without at least trying to give him the book. And some of them don't take it, some of them do, but I always try. And I noticed that yesterday when the kid lit up. It made me feel so good. And so many times you give it to them, okay, you know, they don't even look at it. And this kid was just like excited about it. He was one of these guys. He's cold, you know. Some people go, wow, far out, I like this. So that's the responsibility that the prophet's given.
Yeah, you point out a thing that's very interesting, is that, and it's proof that the jiva is wandering, is because when they get in touch with Krishna, immediately, and how many times have you all heard this, people feel like, complete or satisfied, or their questions were completely answered. The experience is a wholeness. I was missing something, and now I'm actually experiencing that hole in my heart has been filled. So wandering and then completion by coming in contact with the devotee. Thank you. Yes.
Then we have 8 million species of jiva that then have no access to God or Guru. The 8 million species. Only the human species can have access to this. All else is in delusion.
Well, that's true in one sense, but in another sense, even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, even the non-moving living entities had kirtan with the echo from the devotees. And so, seeing even this barrier of live, we're talking about what's alive and what's not, this ordinary barrier of what's alive and not doesn't matter. Stones, they melt upon hearing the Harinam. That's Guru's mercy also. Yes?
I got the mic.
I just want to say, I don't agree with your statement that cooperating is the hardest ecstasy, whatever, austerity.
Yes, it is.
No, you're not.
Yes, it is.
I was teasing.
Okay, Mahatma, you got something to say?
Yeah, that was it. No, and, well, I mean, Prabhupada said even a dog can chant and dance in ecstasy. You know, devotional service comes from the heart of the jiva. You know, it's just that the human form facilitates it, you know, more than these other forms. So it's a valuable resource that we shouldn't take advantage of. But
yeah, well, given the origins of myself, I would think that fortunately dogs can take advantage.
I don't know, I have some experience. No. But,
okay, Madhumati.
Yeah. No, it comes from the jiva, you know, has that relationship and the form of self.
I just wanted to share something that somebody was telling me, this devotee was telling me just yesterday. Because you were saying it's by mercy, only some get it. So this devotee was telling me that how, I asked her how she came to Krishna consciousness, and so she was saying that she was like really suffering, and she was really praying to God or whoever it is, you know, to please show me some path. And so she was praying, and then she opened her computer. And she says, I don't know from where, this person was talking. And he was talking in Russian and had his Russian name on there. And he was talking about knowledge and everything. And she just like heard him and was totally captivated. And it's not like he was directly so much talking about Krishna, but he was talking about knowledge in such a way that it made her like, oh, I need to hear this person more. And so she was able to, you know, how computers work, she was able to find more and more, and she found out that actually he was a Krishna devotee. She didn't know who Krishna was or whatever. And it was her guru, actually. Like, it was Chaitanya Chandra Charan Prabhu from Russia. So it was him. It was him who was speaking and had his Russian name there. And so it's amazing that how it's by Krishna's mercy you get a guru, and guru's mercy you get Krishna. So
yes, Chaitanya Chandra Charan he's a big preacher in Russian sphere. And he's devised ways to get people to surrender to Krishna. So let's just finish up the verse. Paya. It implies that one gets the opportunity to see Krishna. So again, Bhagya, who's Kona? Who's fortunate? One who takes the opportunity. Not just that we sit on our hands, but when the opportunity is presented to us, we have to take it. And the various ways in which this idea of taking the opportunity explained throughout Chaitanya Charitamrita. And then taking what? The Bhakti Lata Beej. After obtaining the opportunity of having the fortune of what's being extended to you, Bhakti Lata gives the idea of making progress on that path. Lata Avalambi. Taking advantage of the growing bhakti lata. This idea of growing we can associate with the bhakti lata. Krishna consciousness will grow. And finally, the bija, the origins. Good origins, bad oranges, origins. Planting the seed. So, anybody have comments, reflections?
I want to ask you this. You heard that story of on the way to Mayapur, Prabhupada would stop at the mango orchard. I remember we stopped there many, many times. But I'm sure you know that story, that Prabhupada did not look at the dog, but he was honoring this laddu. Satadanna Maharaj at that time, he was there with him. And Prabhupada throw like this, and it went in the mouth of the dog, which is few hundred feet. Somehow or other, Prabhupada, I mean, I don't know how it happened, but somehow or other, the little children, they were taking care of the cows, they witnessed the whole thing. So on the way back, that Gargamuni Maharaj that time was the GBC of Calcutta, and they were coming back, they stopped the same place. Somehow or other, Prabhupada chose it, I guess, that Manguga Archer. And those coward boys told the what happened. But Gargamuni Maharaj didn't understand because he didn't learn Bengali. But Jagataka Maharaj was told to investigate, and he found out that end of the day, that dog died. So my question is, was that the Krishna was helping the dog to, I mean, I'm just trying to figure it out, how did Prabhupada knew how far that laddu should go when in the mouth of a dog in the far distance? Is that Krishna involved? I'm sure Krishna is involved in everything. But why did Prabhupada gave that dog that one when there, and there were other boys are there, they didn't get it, the dog got it.
Causeless. When one is traveling, wandering aimlessly through billions and trillions of universes, billions and trillions of years, according to his karma, as Prabhupada explains in the verse, then the source, even in that situation, the source of his suffering can't be understood. And so in a similar way, the mercy that is extended by Krishna, Guru Krishna, Prasade Pai, the mercy that Guru and Krishna combine to give, is incalculable. We are so conditioned, because we don't think ourselves as insignificant as described in this verse, we think that I'm not so affected or bound by my past karmas. We tend to think less of us, more of ourselves than we really are. And so devotees, the spiritual master, the Srila Prabhupada, he can exhibit anything to deliver a conditioned soul. And he does. And it may seem amazing to us, and how can we calculate it? But it's causeless. That's what it means. There's no reason why any of us should be sitting here other than the mercy of Guru and Krishna. It's nine.
We talked earlier during your lecture about the jiva, that to be a jiva, you can't get that title, I guess, means life. And that life comes from the connection with the spiritual master. But does the jiva, at some point, individuals begin to question, why am I here? Why am I suffering? You know, it's like Sanatana and Rupa when they approach Lord Chaitanya. I'm so knowledgeable, but yet, you know, people say I'm knowledgeable. I don't even know who I am, you know? So that questioning before coming in contact, I mean, that questioning, I guess, attracts the guru to the jiva.
Well, that's part of Krishna's arrangement and how he makes this world to always give us a chance, even though we've turned our back on him. The human form of life is a place where those questions rise most prominently. Who am I? Who am I? Kayami Shitanatan said. Why am I suffering? The threefold miseries. These things come, it's not so cloudy on that day when we get to human life. Where we can see a little knowledge coming through the clouds. And we ask these questions. Now still, even Kona, not all that question like that will take. But human beings have that opportunity to question like that human form of life. And so we know we're wandering Brahmanda Brahmite, but we get the opportunity, like Narada Muni Prabhupada describes in the purport. Nothing special about his birth. Indeed, you know, he didn't know who his father was. It's not stated like that, but his mother was a maidservant. Who's your father? Just like Satchikam. Who's my father? No answer. So that was his background, not a very prestigious birth. But because he served the Vaishnavas, he became Narada Muni in the next life. I mean, really, how powerful is service to the Vaishnavas. So, anyway, I think we should end there. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai.